Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. It's Paul with Torah Life Ministries, and we are reading another episode of the Suffer Well devotional series. We're going to read the devotion and then we're going to be speaking about it. This is really an important concept to remember about our Creator, a wonderful thing. So as we read, just think about what's being said here carefully, because it just reminds us how amazing our wonderful Creator is. Now, this devotional was started by my friend Michael and my friend Jeffrey. Both of them teamed up together to do this. Michael had went to jail and was writing many notes to Jeff, and Jeff put these into this devotional, and that's the story behind this. And years ago, I was going through a very tough situation in my life, and Jeff sent me some of these devotionals, and I didn't know that he wrote them, and I just found them so profound. And one day I decided to speak about them. And I said, look, those devotionals you send me are so well that I'm going to talk about them. And then he said to me finally, did you know, Paul, that I wrote them? I had no idea. I was floored. I was like, wow, really? They're amazing. So that's when I decided to read these devotionals every day with you, because they're that good. And you could find all of those devotionals at the sufferwell.org, sufferwell.org. So I'm going to read today's devotional, and then we are going to speak about it here. And it says, the title is The Cost and His Grace. The Cost and His Grace. And now we're going to read it, and it says, 19 devotions, including this one. That is how many remain. We didn't even know this body of work would end at 365. Not until recently. It's been the most sublime partnership between the three of us. The prisoner, Michael, me, Jeffrey, and the Holy Spirit, Ruach. And as we race towards the completion, there is yet another supernatural pattern unfolding. It is the recognizable dance between the cost of discipleship and His grace to hide something from us long enough that we would pull back. What do we mean? 10 years ago, in 2004, Yahweh called me, Jeff, to write a book, The Heart of David. I took to the task immediately out of obedience, but had I known what the 18-month journey would have entailed ahead of time, I would have politely declined. 1 year ago, the end of 2013, Yahweh again spoke to me clearly and told me to complete and edit these devotions in unity with my brother. And again, I eagerly complied. But if I had predicted the time and effort involved, I would have run like Jonah. You see, His grace covered what I did not need to know long enough to allow me to step in so deeply that there was no way out. But oh, how good He is. The fruit of paying the cost has been more than we can ask, think, or imagine. Ephesians 3 verse 20. But be not mistaken, loved one. You will pay the cost of discipleship. There is always a price for radical faith-based obedience. Yes, come just as you are. But if you wish to follow Him, be prepared to lose all you are after you come. Pick up your own torture stake, deny your flesh, and follow Yeshua. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. John 6, verse 63. Imagine knowing from the very beginning your faith walk that is was going to cost you in your life to become like Him. And knowing this, you still run to Him. That is exactly what Peter experienced when he cried, Master, where else can we go? John 6, verse 68. And now, as this season approaches its completion, Yahweh is again faithful to direct our step. Proverbs 16, verse 9. The next work will be to unfold the majestic of his kingdom courtroom. It will be a season of new heights and a new challenge, and most costly, new temptation to quit. Nevertheless, his grace is sufficient to veil. From our imagination, the ultimate cost of obedience. This he will do just long enough to draw us nigh, and we, in which time we too will exclaim, Master, where else can we go? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his stake and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you who plans to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost to see if he has enough to finish? So in the same way, whoever it is of you who does not forsake all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Luke 14, verses 26 to 28 and verse 33. It is by his grace that at times he hides the cost of discipleship. You would do well to acknowledge when he does and thank him. It brings him glory. Besides, where else can you go? Wow. Wow. That's a beautiful devotion and something to understand for all of us. For if we knew what we were getting ourselves into when we decided to say Yeshua is our Messiah and follow him in his ways, and the backlash we would get from people, the friendships we would lose, and so on, before we felt that power of the Hadak HaKodesh, the holy set apart spirit, we might say, oh, well, that, no, thank you. But he hides certain things. And when a season allows itself, when he allows our eyes to be open, that's when he reveals these things to us. He knows us, and he knows how we're going to respond to certain things. For so many people, I've read the same exact scriptures over and over again about the Torah, about obedience, about following his ways that go against the grain of man today. But they miss it. They completely read over it when it says, follow me, obey these instructions, keep these ways, explaining what it truly means to be set apart. And people miss it. And I asked people I've interviewed, I said, how did you miss it? You spent many, many years over and over again reading it. And they all gave me the same answer. Yahweh had not yet opened my eyes. Yahweh had not yet opened my eyes. He opens our eyes when he believes we're prepared to see certain things. Many people are not prepared. They're not spending time daily with our Creator. They're not showing themselves worthy of seeing certain things. And at times they are. He's just saving them and helping them by not showing them the cost of discipleship until we're already deep in the battle and we can't bow out. He's so wonderful in what he does for us and how he does for us and the season he puts us through. And when he opens up our eyes or doesn't open up our eyes, it's just a wonderful thing. Well, we've been reading this devotional for almost a whole year. And I myself have took on this endeavor to read this every day with you for the last year or so. And go over this every single day. And just like Jeff and Michael, as they put this together, they didn't do it for money or fame. That's not what they were seeking. They did it for discipleship, to help others. That was their only motive. That was it. Never once did they charge or ask for a penny of this. Never once. As I'm doing this here, you know, this takes time to do. It took time for them to write this. It takes time for me every day to do this. But the true cost is not about money. The true cost is following our Creator's guidelines and instructions, bearing good fruit, making disciples, and helping each other grow in Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah. And as a new season comes upon us, we must understand, a new season comes upon all of us. at certain times in our lives. New seasons, new beginnings, endings to certain projects, and new projects come. But we must spend time with our Creator daily and just thank Him and ask Him to continue to show us the way. It says in Song of Solomon 2:11-12, "For behold, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of singing has come." You know, I love to grow fruit trees, and I love to learn about horticulture and so on. And I love to see the flowers and the fruit prosper once I take care of the trees and see how the seasons change. It shows me Yahweh so much in the process of what He created untouched by the humans, just what He meant it to be and how He meant it to be. You know, and I know Yahweh has given me a passion to do this. And the same thing with people. I love to see the fruit grow in people. And I love to wake people up. And there's a phrase today called being woke. I love people to be woke, from the medical community, as I help people avoid and overcome illnesses and diseases and certain things like that. You know, but one thing we have to remember is, you know, He made us. He's our Creator. It says in Job 10, verse 8, "Your hand shaped me and made me." It says in Psalms 139, verse 13, "For you created me, my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Psalms 139, 13. He created us, and He didn't leave us after He created us. He guides us. He guides us through the seasons. He takes us in these different ways. And when He created us with talents. He created us with gifts. Individually, He's given us passions. And when His time is right, He opens our eyes to what they are. The Bible says in Corinthians 12, 7 and 11, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives a gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of Yahweh or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person will have." You know, but don't miss the point of that. We all have a gift, something to give. And sometimes we're afraid to embrace that gift if we know what the costs are going to be. Because they're not always going to equal fame or fortune as we use our gift. Sometimes it's going to, and often it's going to lead to poverty. It's going to lead to isolation. It's going to lead to things that our fleshly desire does not seek or does not want. But remember, we're not about pride, we're about humility. It says in Romans 12, 6 and 8, "In His grace, Yahweh has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." So if Yahweh has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as Yahweh has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If Yahweh has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. 1 Peter 4, 10-11 says, "Each of you has received a gift to use to serve others. Be good servants of Yahweh's various gifts of grace. Anyone who speaks should speak words from Yahweh. Anyone who serves should serve with the strength of Yahweh gives, so that everything Yahweh will be praised through Yeshua our Messiah. Power and glory belong to Him forever and ever." And Exodus 35:10 says, let every skillful craftsman among you come and make that Yahweh, make all that Yahweh has commanded. Remember this, you are a gift and you have a gift to give others. Meaning, there's a value to your life. Yahweh has created you for a reason. That's why I say we shouldn't be in depression. We have a reason to be here and something to do for Yahweh. We need to serve him. Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for Yahweh and not for man, knowing that from Yahweh you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving Yahweh. And Romans 12, verse 11 says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve Yahweh enthusiastically. But it's important because even though sometimes this will lead to ridicule and isolation, other times it won't. People will try to thank you, especially if you're giving. And you got the gift of giving and you give and people will give the false sense of praising you and so on. But be careful as you're using your gift to remain humble at all times. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says, who says you are better than others? What do you have that was not given to you? And if it was given to you, why do you brag as if you did not receive it as a gift? And James 4, 6 says, but Yahweh has given us even more grace. As the scriptures say, Yahweh is against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So we must always remain humble as we use the gifts Yahweh has given us. It's not of us, it's of him. And he decides what we are and who we are to give. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good works. Everything, the glory must go to Yeshua, never to us. Hebrews 3:13 says, instead, continue to encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We are called to help each other. That's it. We are called to help each other. Romans 12 verses 4 and 5 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Yeshua, and every one must be members of another. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that body being many, the body is one, so it also is Yeshua. All of you together are Yeshua's body, and each of you is part of it. 1 Corinthians 12:27. So let us remember this. You know, I'm going to leave you with this scripture here about the talents that he gives us. In Matthew 25, verses 14 to 21, it says, similarly, it was like a man going on a trip who called his servants and turned his money over to them. To one man he gave 5 talents, to another man he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. Based on their ability. Then he went on the trip. The one who received 5 talents went out at once and invested them and earned 5 more. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents earned 2 more. But the one who received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents. Master, he said, you gave me 5 talents. See, I earned 5 more talents. His master told him, well done, good and trustworthy servant. Since you have been trustworthy with a small amount, I'll put you in charge of a large amount. Come and share your master's joy. We must use these to our fullest ability. As we go on this walk to be with our Creator, we must understand. We must trust Yahweh on this journey with all our heart, not some of it, not some of it, all our heart. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusts in Yahweh, whose hope is in him. We must trust Yahweh. And that's what this suffering well is about. You know, when we hear suffer well, we're going to suffer well. But Yahweh will work in your life to conform to you the image of Yeshua. And the little things you might go through, they are to help you change and grow, to grow spiritually, and to grow in every area of your life. Romans 8:29 says, "For those who foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers." Philippians 1 verse 6 says, "I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on in completion until the day of Yeshua Messiah." 2 Peter 3, 18 says, "Rather you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our wonderful Messiah Yeshua, and the glory to him both now and forever." And Colossians 2, 6, verse 7, 6 and 7 says, "And now, just as you accepted Yeshua as your Messiah, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that does not negate the many trials you will go through, many trials and obstacles you'll have to overcome. James 1, verses 2 and 4 says, "Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work, so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing." Romans 5, verses 3 and 5 says, "Not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Now this hope does not disappoint us, because Yahweh's love has been poured out unto the hearts of the Ruach HaKodesh, who has been given to us." John 16, 33 says, "Have I told you these things, so that in me you may have peace? You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world." And then we know Romans 8, 28 that says, "And we know that all things work together for the good that love Yahweh. To them they are called according to his purpose." So I call you all, as you're listening to this today, to press on. To press on. To not look back and just look forward. Philippians 3, 14 says, "I press towards the mark of the prize for the high calling of Yahweh and Yeshua Messiah." Remember, everybody, keep your eyes on Yeshua. Do not let anything distract you from your goal. Nothing. Hebrews 12, 2 says, "Looking unto Yeshua, the authority and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh." Hallelujah. 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 And there's only one way to get through these times, and that's through spending time with our wonderful Messiah. That's the only way. We must pray daily. We must speak to our Creator. That's the only way to persevere. Luke 18, 1 says, Yeshua told the disciples about a parable, their need to pray all the time and never give up. Pray and don't give up. Prayer comes first, the most important thing. Ephesians 6, 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all the perseverance and supplication for all saints." You're not doing this alone, remember. Yahweh is giving you a helper to help you along the way. The Ruach HaKodesh. Yeshua said, "My yoke is easy." You know, he's there to help you. John 14, 16 says, "I will ask the Father to give you another helper to be with you always. During these trials, you will have help." Romans 8, 26 says, "At the same time, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, because we don't know how to pray for what we need. But the Spirit intercedes along with our groans that cannot be expressed in words." Here's the thing. It's not a physical issue. It's a mental issue. It's a mental issue. And the devil tries to take our minds and distract us from Yahweh. And we must stay focused on him. Meditating on his word all the time. Allowing Yahweh guide us through his word and not our emotions through the worldly actions of the flesh. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path." Proverbs, another word for wisdom, says, "For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light, and the reproof, the instructions of the ways of life." You see, when you read the word and you understand scripture, it keeps you from the darkness of this world. Hallelujah. We're told to follow Yeshua, imitate him, and do the will. It says in Proverbs 16:3, commit to Yahweh whatever you do, and he will establish your plan. And in John 4:34, Yeshua said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Yes. Yes. Our journey, we must continually avoid the devil, confess our sins and forsake them, and continually avoid him, not focus on him, not give him any power, and focus on Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah. Every day, Ephesians 6:11 says, put on Yahweh's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Being overwhelmed, being depressed, being scared of man, having the worries of the world. No, none of that has to be part of our lives. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes. Yes. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you will be called and about to which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Yes, praise Yahweh, praise Yahweh. Remember the great examples that scripture gives us. Jonah 3, 2 and 4 says, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of Yahweh and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go there. And Jonah began to go by the day's journey into the city proclaiming, 40 more days, Nineveh will be overthrown. This was a wicked city. And Jonah went to go and preach the word of Yah. A tough task, but he did it. He was obedient. And they changed. Judges 18, verse 5 and 6. Then they said, ask Yahweh whether or not our journey will be successful. Go in peace, the priest replied. For Yahweh is watching over your journey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I leave you this wonderful day that Yahweh has made. A day for us to rejoice and be glad in it, with Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your Elohim. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. Praise Yah. I want to thank Jeff and Michael for doing this devotional series that's blessed my life so much and helped me at some of the hardest times of my life to persevere and overcome and to help me to use my talents for him. Praise Yah. All right, everybody, I pray this has been a blessing to you. We got several more to do before we're done. But today, have a blessed day. Yahweh be with you all, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end. His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings, that there will be place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face